Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbot Brewing Company. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Thanks to Todd Callis for joining us. Broadcasting live at Carbot, where tonight we are crowning a champion of Rock the Mic, joining the illustrious ESPN Houston family. Cannot wait. It'll all get started in the 5 o'clock hour, so come on out, hang out with us. Have a pop, have a cold beer, take in the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, did you know there's a new way to listen to our station on the radio? Up until 7 o'clock today. It's clearer, stronger, best way to listen. If you have an HD radio in your car, you need to check out 97.9 HD2. If you start listening on 97.9, you won't ever have to worry about changing your station ever again. All right, what are the things that you're most looking forward to in tomorrow's game against the Rams?
I think there's a few. I think as much as I'm with you, I'm ready for the preseason to be over with and us to get down to business. I think because of the fact that we keep talking about the running back situation, and we know that Cam Akers has been getting carries no matter what it is, what time of the game and what level of play is out there in terms of the twos and the threes. He's been getting some carries. We were wondering about Jordan. Is he going to make this team? And you want to know if Damian Pierce, with all the talk this week, is still going to get some carries to prove that, you know, he is ready to be a number two or be the guy that they keep telling us he has been in practice. So I'm watching the running back room very carefully. We know that the decisions at wide receiver are coming down to the last minute too. And you want to find out, you know, Hutchinson's looked good. Mechie's looked better lately. You know, what's going to happen with Skronik? How are they going to, you know, make those cuts and who's going to be the odd man out? So I'm going to be watching that as well. And then from a defensive perspective, look, I like Khalil Davis. I like the inside interior tackles. I want to continue to see how tough of a decision that's going to be in the interior of the defensive line. And if I could throw in a caveat on the fourth, the linebacker position now becomes a very interesting scenario because of the fact that we're assuming Christian Harris won't be ready for week one, and you either need to go externally or find a guy that can kind of put a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah, I'm starting to think he won't be available for week one. I'm not sure there's anything I'm interested in watching in tomorrow's game. Like, this is the final preseason game. None of the starters are going to play. I wouldn't imagine the top 30 players on this roster will even be in action tomorrow. Like, is Damian Pierce even going to get carries? Is Cam Akers even going to get carries?
Know.
Or are they just going to go with all of the young guys? Like Jawar Jordan, the British Bulldog, J.J. Taylor, not so young, but a little, you know, not a guy that they're counting on. You're not going to see the first-team offensive line.
Right.
You're not going to see the first-team defensive line. So maybe you have some guys that are fighting for positions, but I don't even think that's true. I think they already had their 53.
I think
their 53 is set already.
The only thing you can really look for is to tell if someone that you think is on the roster is suddenly in the game. I think that might be a tell, because if you're someone that they're keeping out of the game completely, let's just say Damian Pierce. If Damian Pierce is set out, like, okay, he's on the 53. But if we turn on the game and Damian Pierce is in the game, then maybe suddenly that's a sign that he's actually in a competition.
Yeah, maybe so. Or like a Robert Woods.
Right.
Like if Robert Woods is playing in tomorrow's game,
then
like,
he's on the bubble.
It might even be he's gone.
Yeah,
it might even be he's gone.
And they're showcasing
it. So you're right. So, like, the clues are maybe
really
the most
just who's out there.
Interesting thing with tomorrow's game. Because, I mean, you're going to see a lot of Tim Beck. You're going to see a good amount of Case Keenum. You're going to see those three young running backs. I mean, I guess that'll be fun to see, you know, the development of those young guys. But I don't think you're going to see a whole lot from a decision-making point of view. I would be stunned if they already didn't have their 53. I think they have their 53 ready to go. And there's things that could change that. Injury could change that. You know, because there've been some of the guys in the 53 will be playing. A trade could change that because you're seeing a few trades here these last couple of days. I think players will start to be waived, or at least the news about them being waived will start to come out this weekend. We'll start to hear about it. Might not the official transaction might not happen, but we'll hear about some of these guys who are no longer going to be on the 53. But tomorrow's, like, I know that all preseason football are exhibition games. tomorrow's game, and everybody in the NFL for this matter, the final preseason game is the most exhibition of exhibition football that exists.
Yeah, you guys might be right in the fact that the practice with the Rams might have given them their last deciding factor in terms of competition and who they think and they like between separate players. I think the more you said that, the more I believe, because of the fact that I was going to bring up all the moves that are starting to be made in the NFL, they have their mind made up probably pretty close, with maybe a couple exceptions on their current 53. But I think between now and through Sunday and into the weekend, I think that's where they're going to be looking externally and making some moves. I think they're going to be looking for linebacker. I think that they're going to be, you know, checking to see what's out there in the running back market that maybe could give them an extra boost, step up if they need it. I think that they're going to make a move or two.
I do too. Like, I would put the number at three. Like, there's currently, I think there's going to be three guys, and it's not going to be on Tuesday. Cut down Tuesday, 3 o'clock, we'll be all over it.
Right.
This is more going to be like Friday. Like, your full 53 is going to come into play, like, once the waiver wire passes. So I think Friday's when you're really going to get your 53 that you're going to enter week one of the NFL season with. I will say that there will be three players on the 53 that are currently not in camp for the Houston Texans.
Three.
What do you put it at?
I said two. I think I'm going to go two. I'm curious, like, what positions they're going to play. I think linebacker.
Linebacker's the easy one.
And potentially running back.
See, that's the one that I hesitate on. Because I don't think they're going to be in the market for a running back. I really don't. I think that they're maybe not necessarily happy with what they have. But I think I'm actually on the side that Dameon Pierce is going to make the team now. Listening to D'Amico yesterday, and then listening to Stroud yesterday too, where he's kind of like, yeah, you know, Dameon Pierce gives us that second running back, and it's like, okay, like he was pretty convincing, like saying that, and it's not coach speak because he's not a coach. So I thought that was kind of a tell. I thought that was interesting. You know, they have Akers. I think Akers is making the 53, and they love Dare. So I don't think they're going to be in the running back market. And even if they get rid of Dameon Pierce, I think it's going to be because they like one of their young guys. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to be in the running back market.
So then where is it? Because
linebacker. Eric Edholm today. Now, Eric Edholm in his article, he was listing guys who might be traded. He listed Dameon Pierce. He listed guys that are going to be cut, like potential cuts. And he listed two cornerbacks. He listed Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson. And it's like, okay. Now, he did say he doesn't think both of them will be cut. He thinks one of them will be cut and doesn't know which one. But then he also listed Desmond King as the nickel corner. So it's like he's not really paying attention
right,
to the Houston
right.
Texans dynamics right now. I think it would be corner, though, because I don't – like, Akuda's been hurt. So I think there's a really good chance Akuda doesn't make the team because he's been injured. And then maybe they bring him back after the 53. But they're not going to use one of the two IR spots for him. Because he's not that significant. No offense to Jeff Okuda or any of the family of Jeff Okuda that might be listening. So I think that Edholm's actually on to something there. I think it's Okuda. I think Okuda's not going to make the team because he's been hurt. And he's not going to use one of the two IL spots on Jeff Okuda because that's silly. And I think there's other guys they could use him on. Noah Brown, Christian Harris. There's another one that I think that they could potentially use it on. I forget who it was. Whatever. I'll think of it later. So I think they could be in the market for corner.
Not settle.
Yeah, settle.
Okay.
Yeah, settle. I think there's three guys for the two injured reserve spots because you get two. New rule this year, you can use two that aren't part of the 53. Last year, that wasn't the case. So they added the rule this offseason. Thank you for Texans Cap for learning me that. I think there's three guys that could potentially be in those two spots. Settle, Noah Brown, and Christian Harris. And whichever one is not will be on the 53. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they IR him after the 53 because you can only use two, can't use three. So I think there's a chance it's settle. I think it'll be two of those three guys. It's definitely not going to be Jeff Okuda. There's no chance it'll
be
Jeff Okuda. I think that Jeff Okuda is going to be off this team. I think the Texans will bring in a linebacker. I think they'll bring in a corner, and they might bring back two of one of those positions.
I think they
could bring two corners in.
Oh, I was going to say, because you said three. If I was going with a third just by a separate position group than that, I still think that they're going to look at running back, and then do they look at safety?
I don't think so. I think they're good with safety. Because, one, I mean, Petrie's still going to play some safety in the 4-3. He's going to slot down. He's going to move down to nickel, you know, nickel corner in the nickel. But you have Petrie, you have Jimmy Ward, you have Bullock, you have Murray. Maybe they keep Stewart, and Stewart would be their fifth, and they usually only keep four. Do they keep five because Petrie's going to play some nickel? I doubt it. I think they keep four, but I think they have five guys that are capable of being on the 53. So I don't think they bring in a safety.
Brian, you get offensive line maybe for insurance policies?
I mean, yeah, but
that's a good call.
It could be. I guess you'd have to say, like, which offensive line do you think is not that we were expecting to make it that would then not make the team?
Well, I mean,
Kendrick Green was hurt. I don't know the severity of that.
Yeah, right.
But if there was, if that was serious, maybe you find an interior offensive lineman.
I do agree that linebacker is the obvious top one, and then corner just because there's just I don't think there's anywhere close to settled or assured on the guys they have behind Stingley and Lassiter. It feels like Stingley, Lassiter, and shrug emoji. Kind of what it feels like at corner. So I think that's completely up in the air. It could be that Henderson and Kuda are the 3 and 4, or it could be neither of them are on the team.
Yeah, I mean quarterback's fine. You're only going to keep two anyways, because of the new rule there too. You can elevate a practice squad guy to be your emergency third. Running back, we differ on running back. Fullback, no. They might not even keep a fullback. They might use British Bulldog as a fullback. Although I think Beck's going to make the team. Receiver, obviously not. I could see an interior offensive lineman, depending on the severity of Kendrick Green's injury.
That and the fact that if you can get a cap casualty, a veteran that's better, more experienced, that's had some run over the years at guard, I think that you're smart to consider it.
I'll throw out another position that we haven't said. Outside the box, not even sure I really believe it, but defensive end.
Because of Autry?
Because of Will Anderson.
Oh.
Like, if Will Anderson's going to miss week one, you're not going to put him on the reserve injured list. But if he's going to miss week one, it's like, okay, do you get rid of one of these fringe guys, 52, 53, on the roster, and you sign a defensive end for depth? Because they've actually brought in multiple guys at the position during camp. Like, Jerry Hughes was a late signing. They picked up this Payne guy recently. So it's like they're looking for bodies there. We thought it was camp bodies. But if Anderson all of a sudden has to miss game one, which hasn't been reported, everybody's saying that it's not significant and they think he's going to be back by the start of the year. But if they pick up a defensive end on waivers, it's like, okay, they're not sure if Will Anderson's going to be ready by week one.
Yeah, they were comfortable with Jerry Hughes and the Barnetts of the world and the guys that can fill in short doses. But it's a totally different ballgame if you're out with without Will Anderson for any significant period of time.
Yeah, even if it's only one game.
Yeah, the Christian Harris thing really worries me. I mean, that's why I think it's imperative that they look for linebacker depth no matter what else they do.
Yeah, the linebackers are pretty weak. Like, Azeez Alshire, Christian Harris, and then you're looking at Henry To'o. They like Hanson, I guess.
They do like him.
They like, they drafted Hill. Hill's probably going to make the team. They like Hewitt. Like, it's not great depth. At the linebacker spot.
I think we're all on the same page. I think that's not as urgent as there could be a position to look for. I think they have to address that simply because of there's so much uncertainty with the status of Christian Harris, and because it's the second time with the same calf where you just don't. I mean, that's going to be an extended period of time to heal with a calf muscle.
I mean, he hasn't really run.
No, I mean, you're right. When DJ said to us that it wasn't even when he got into the full parts of practice that they already taken him back out, it's like, that's not good.
Yeah. I wonder, though, if they would even view it, the linebacker position, though, with the same urgency they were viewing it, just because that position has been kind of like running back, a position that's become devalued, which is weird to say because D'Amico, obviously a former great linebacker, but considering teams play 70%+ in the nickel and you like your first two guys, assuming Christian Harris is healthy, they may not view that with the same urgency that we're putting on. I think they definitely need an improvement with depth, but I don't know if they're going to view that with the same urgency that we do.
I think D'Amico wants to play more 4-3 this year. Like
more 4-3 than nickel?
No. Not more 4-3 than nickel. More 4-3 than 4-3 last year.
Okay.
Because if you watch the games last season, first half of the year, he was playing a good amount of 4-3. And then whenever they got rid of Tavier Thomas, they brought back in Desmond King, and then it went to, like, nothing but nickel. Like, they were playing 95-97% of their defensive plays in nickel. But before that, they were about as even as you're going to see in the NFL these days. So I wonder if D'Amico wants to really be at about 35% 4-3 as opposed to 3% like he was at the second half of last year. I think, just total guess, he wants to be a little bit more multiple than they were last year. And if you don't have a third linebacker, you're in trouble to do that.
Yeah, and I think that parlayed with what you're dealing with right now, Christian Harris, I think they need an athletic, maybe a veteran, but not, you know, like on the downside. But I think that they need another linebacker in the room no matter what.
Yeah, to your point, Brian, because of the injuries, they might just say, well, screw it, we're going to play nickel 97% of the time. I think that's very much in play until Christian Harris comes back.
And I agree with your point that I think in a perfect world, D'Amico might want to be more multiple. But I also look at teams just through their actions more than what they tell us. And I think if being multiple was a priority of theirs, they would have taken a linebacker higher in the draft. Like, I mean, you look at the draft picks that matter before you get into the late rounds, there's not a linebacker there. If that was a goal, considering going into the draft, you'd already signed Azeez Al-Shaarir, but you still knew your linebacker depth was limited. Wouldn't they have addressed that in the draft if that was a priority for D'Amico?
I don't know, because of the fact that you knew the higher priority and the urgency was corner.
Yeah. See, I think there's two ways you can
look
at that.
Well, you can still sign corner and go, instead of taking the tackle, or the safety, go with the linebacker, if linebacker and being multiple is a concern of yours.
Linebacker demand's not high, though. So, like, you can get away drafting that later, because it's not going to be, like, you're not going to see teams drafting linebackers in the first round. You'll see a few here in the second round. But they might have been comfortable with 2020 being their third linebacker. They might have been good with 2020 being their third linebacker in a 4-3. They're only going to play it 25%
of the time. And the Rich got thrown in when Harris got hurt.
Yes, yeah. And now they realize, hey, for multiple reasons, we've got to get better, and we have to have better depth anyway at linebacker, and that's why they got to go get one.
Because you can get by with 2020 being your third linebacker in a 4-3 when you're playing it 25% of the time. Now, if you're playing him 100% of the snaps, now it's, oh, no, we're not in a great spot. But, I mean, to your point, yeah, they should have been looking at the depth there. All right, 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. Do you think there's a surprise position the Texans look to attack whenever the waiver wire hits next week? We'll be all over the cutdown day on Tuesday. Top wide receiver tandems in the NFL. Texans too low, too high, or are they just right? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company.
This is the site of Rock the Mic, crowning a champion tonight at Carbach. We'll get started in the 5 o'clock hour, carried off into the 6 o'clock hour until our eventual champion. I see the president has already made his way in. He's one of the finalists to be the champ. He's going to try to be the president and the champion of Rock the Mic. Would be pretty good on the old resume. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to the wide receiver tandems in a moment. McTaggart saying that Hector Neris and Caleb Ort will join the team tomorrow. So that's two pitchers that will need to be gone.
Did they make a corresponding move when Ort went on paternity leave?
Yeah, it was Martinez.
Oh, that's right. That's right, because he went down, and then they called him back up same day.
Yeah, weird 15 minutes. It's like, hey, Ort, tell us earlier.
Thank God they're in Sugarland.
Yeah. I wonder if that messed with Martinez's options, though.
Yeah, I don't know if that counted or not. Yeah, I was wondering that as well. The day it happened, I was like, okay, it's cool if it's just, hey, you're not even on a plane or anything like that, and you can work it out. But if it screws you with an option, that would suck.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it doesn't matter, but it's like I'd rather have one than not have one, especially if I could have avoided it. So if Neris and Ort are on the team tomorrow, that means two changes have to happen.
I think it's Martinez and Dubin.
Yeah, I would. I mean, there's no one else, right?
Could it be King?
Could it be Ferguson? Like, because Dubin at least gives you innings.
Well, you mentioned it because I'm already good with being gone with Caleb Ferguson, but they traded for him. Even if it was just financials, are they willing to cut bait on him so soon?
Probably not. GMs don't like doing that.
No, they don't.
I wonder if he has options. I don't even know his option situation. Like, he might not have options, so it might make their decision really easy where they don't have to do it. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Where does the Texans wide receiver tandem stack up in the NFL? Now, I think what the Texans' strength is that their trio is as high as anybody. And we got into this a little bit yesterday because there was folks in Philly saying that the Eagles have the best wide receiver trio because they added a bust in Jahan Dotson. But how about from a tandem perspective? Because you have some really good tandems. You already had the Eagles tandem of A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. High. Now they have Sam Darnold throwing him the football. That hurts. Cincy, Chase, Higgins, San Fran, if Ayuk is there, with Debo, Puka, Cooper, with the Rams. CBS had a list of the top tandems in the NFL. They had the Texans at 7, and they had it with Nico and Stephon Diggs. So really, there's two questions here. One, is Diggs better than Tank?
Right.
And then secondly, is 7 too high? Is it too low? Or is it just right?
I think it's a little low. No matter what you think of the other duos, and obviously I've been very high on Miami and Cincinnati and some of the ones you mentioned. When I look at it, though, I think that no matter what you think Ayuk is going to do and still capable of doing, and he's obviously a really, really good premier-type receiver, I don't know if Debo is what he used to be, and because he's gotten so much, you know, run at running back that, you know, he's taken his wear and tear in his career as well. I would put the Texans over the Niners. I mean, I would think quarterback matters. I think the fact that, look, I like Addison. Addison's been hurt. Addison also had the off the field. Jordan, I mean, obviously Jefferson is one of the best, if not the best, in the league. But I also think you got to have someone to deliver you the football, too, to get your numbers up to be, you know, what you maximize as a duo. So I would question that one as well.
Why does the off the field matter, though?
Well, because of the fact he could face suspension. And if he's going to face suspension, if and when that goes through, he's not going to be on the field at all.
Yeah, I haven't heard if he's going to be suspended or not. So
I know that it's been going back and forth. I'm not even sure if it's gotten to the point of getting to the legal process. But I'm just factoring in things where, and just flat out from ability alone, and where you had both the guys that the Texans have on, you know, and obviously Diggs with the Bills and what happened last year, I believe that they should be higher than 7.
Yeah, who would you have them ahead of?
I definitely would have them. I think I put them ahead of the Niners.
Do you have them ahead of the Rams, Puka and Cooper?
I do, because I think Cooper Kupp has slipped.
Any younger than Stephon?
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where he went from the 100-plus catches and all the things that he was doing to a fact that I thought that he had taken a step back last year. Can he regain it? Yeah, it's possible.
You don't think Diggs took a step back second half of last year, though?
Yeah, but I think
it was more of a fluke?
I do. Okay. And I think that was all the different things going on in the intangibles in place, whether it be the personalities, whether it be the new the change in OC, all those things factored in to where I think the Texans are a top five with that duo.
I tend to agree that the Diggs stuff is a little bit more offensive play caller, but I don't rule it out. Like we talked about this a week ago. Like I do think that it is plausible that Diggs has lost a step, that Diggs isn't going to be as good now as he was 2 years ago or even first half of last year. That's in play. I think that Diggs still has plenty left in the tank, but I think it is in play. The Texans losing out on the trio thing is what hurts this, because because you can go either tank, you can go Stephon Diggs, and if you're putting both of them with Nico and you're looking at all three, they have the best trio in the league. When you're going two for two, Nico Diggs versus Puka and Cooper, pretty close. I probably do give the slight lean to the Texans, but maybe it's because I'm more of a homer than I am a Rams homer. San Fran's interesting because I feel like Debo's always hurt. I think Ayuk's really, really good. I would rather have Ayuk than Debo. But then, like, is Ayuk going to be there? Like, is he going to be traded? But I can't say that he's going to be. That's a tough one. Debo and Ayuk versus Nico and Steph. Man, see, I have to give the slight lean to the 49ers there. Now, once you add the third receiver, it changes things. Chase and Higgins, no. I can't give the Texans the lead there. Jefferson, Addison, I can't do it there.
Ooh.
I can. Justin Jefferson's top three receiver in all of football. Top
four. You don't think that Nico and Diggs are both better than Addison right now?
Yeah. I mean, sure. But Justin Jefferson of those four is easily the best.
So it's a draw. So then it becomes, how close is Nico to Jefferson as opposed to how much better is Diggs than Addison?
I'm not sure that Diggs is better than Addison.
Ooh.
I'm not sure Diggs is better than Addison. Addison had an unbelievable rookie
year. And I like Jordan Addison.
He's getting better. Like, his arrow's pointing up. Diggs is at best to staying stagnant. I mean, if you want to call Addison and Diggs like a wash, Nico versus Justin Jefferson?
No, that's not. I mean, look, as good as Nico was last year, that's what I'm saying. He's not Justin Jefferson.
So you wouldn't have him ahead of the Vikings?
My bigger thing is I believe that Diggs right now is still better than what Addison could be, but he's not there yet. So, therefore, I think it's almost a wash between those two guys.
So you're Diggs greater than Addison equal to Jefferson greater than Nico?
Yes,
as we break out the math on that. A.J. Brown, Devon, well, go ahead.
No, because the other thing I was going to throw out to you was the other interesting discussion to have is, are the three combinations of Texans receivers throwing Tank into the mix still top 10 and possibly better than where they are right now on that list? Tank and Nico, Tank and Diggs, and then Nico and Diggs. All three of those combinations, I think, would be top 10.
I think Tank and Diggs is a wash. Now, if you go Tank, Diggs, is it better than Allen, DJ Moore, or Rome, Odunze, and DJ Moore? That one's tough.
Yeah.
Is it better than CeeDee Lamb and Cooks? The problem with CeeDee Lamb and Cooks is I feel like Lamb's easily the top receiver of those four, but then I feel like Cooks is easily the bottom receiver of the four.
Right.
So that one's kind of hard to do. And then Devontae, Jacoby Myers, I would say no. I mean, Devontae's really good, but Jacoby Myers is solid, but he doesn't belong one of the second best receiver on a top 7 wide receiver tandem. I think I would have the Texans sixth. I would give them a slight lead over Cooper and Puka. I wouldn't have them ahead of Debo Ayuk. I wouldn't have them ahead of Chase Higgins. I wouldn't have them ahead of Jefferson Addison. I wouldn't have them ahead of Brown, Devontae, and I wouldn't have them ahead of Tyreek Hill, and Waddle.
I have them ahead of San Francisco as well because I just – you mentioned the fact that Debo's also banged up, but the fact that he's played a lot of running back and he's not what he was when they had to sign him to playing multiple positions, I just think if he's just being graded as a receiver – I like the Texans' two guys better than whichever one you match up with Debo.
So you have them at four or five.
Yep.
I have them at six. Now, I have them at number one whenever you go full trio.
Oh, yeah.
You're with them? You're with
yeah.
The number one, two there?
And ESPN went too far again yesterday with now anointing the Eagles as the best three receivers in football. They forget how underachieving their new number three is. I look at this and say it's a no-brainer, and I don't know how anybody can say any differently. I think that the top three receivers on one team is definitely the Texans.
0367 says you're trying too hard to factor in the quarterback and coaching. It's hard not to because you're looking at productivity. So, like, quarterback play kind of matters whenever you're talking about production. Like, otherwise you're going just on talent, which I think the list is doing. It's probably what I was doing, too. Like, I can't Minnesota's tandem might be number one for me, actually.
That's where I'm at. Like, just in skill individually between the two receivers that we're rating, there's no doubt that there's a ton of talent. But if it's Sam Darnold or it was going to be J.J. McCarthy throwing the football to those two guys versus C.J. Stroud, advantage Texans.
If it was pure talent, I would have Minnesota 1, Jefferson Addison. I would have Cincinnati 2 with Chase and Higgins. And then I'm looking at Philly with Tyreek and Waddle and then or Miami, and then Philly with Brown and Devonta.
I'm going, man, I don't.
I think top receiver matters too much.
I'm going. On the duos, I'm going Philly and Atlanta. Philly, Miami, and Cincinnati are for me top of the list.
I just love. I mean, I love Jefferson, and I think Addison was so good as a rookie. Ocho, he wants to throw in the Bears with Odunze and then Alan Moore. He wants to throw in the Jags with Christian Kirk and Brian Thomas Jr.
Stop it.
I think it's underrated duo.
I
think it's an underrated duo.
He loves Brian Thomas.
Now Kirk didn't have a great year last year. Yes, he was hurt. What does he look like this year? I think the Jacksonville passing attack is underrated, though. With Thomas, with Kirk, with Gabe Davis, solid number three. With Evan Ingram, he had 100-and-something catches last year as a tight end. ETN, pretty good out of the backfield. I think that passing attack super underrated. 9666, cut play 12 games, was still almost 1,000 yards, had 5 touchdowns. And then 6030 said C.D. Lamb, Texan 2025. Texans are going to be paying way too many people to entertain a C.D. Lamb.
Yeah, with contracts coming up and the ones that they're going to be dealing with, no matter what happens with Diggs, C.D. Lamb is not a Texan next year.
All right, 713-780 ESPN. We're broadcasting from Carbach, where we will have the Rock the Mic champion crowned later tonight. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. Come out, hang out with us, enjoy us for the party that is Rock the Mic. When we return, everybody's favorite game, Who Said It? With the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. TreeMac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Time now for Who Said It? Everybody's favorite game where TreeMac is going to try to stump us, which he's doing a really good job of it lately.
I believe you're still 0 for the summer.
I think so.
Easy now.
Yeah. Brian's been a real brat this summer, but he's been very
Shut
good
up,
about
Joe.
It. Carbach Brewery, the side of Rock the Mic, will be on until 7 o'clock, crowning a Rock the Mic champion later tonight. Swing on by, hang out with us, have a drink, and watch the show. All right, let's get started. Who Said It? What is quote number one, Brian?
All right, quote number one. He's just like Jackson Mahomes. Down? Am I way too loud?
You're
okay,
very loud.
My fault. We've had
Brian.
some gremlin. Alex Bregman style gremlins behind the scenes trying to get our speakers to work. So
Brian, less of you, more of us.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Scott Service facial expressions.
Yeah, thank you, Jim Rome. Yeah, thank you, Jim Rome. All right, he's just like Jackson Mahomes because he's a younger brother, a younger, less successful internet famous brother. I mean, it's true, minus the off the field stuff.
I
talking about Ben Verlander. If I did make that clear.
Oh, wow.
I heard this.
You heard, and you don't remember?
No.
That's brutal.
No.
Terrible recall.
Because
I don't think you can trust his opinion now.
It's unreal. I've heard it, but I have no clue who it was. Come on, man.
No, because there's two different versions of it. There was the Jackson and Mahomes comparison to there was a discussion about Jameis Winston, and then there was also a discussion about this quote.
So where did you hear it?
It had to be either the G's or John and Lance.
Okay, so that narrows it down by one.
Why one?
Why do they have to be those two shows?
That's normally when I'm listening. That's normally when I'm listening. Give me the quote again.
Because he doesn't like Dell's show.
That's what I was saying.
He's not a big fan of Lil Leia.
That's the answer I was trying to get. All right, quote one more time. He's just like Jackson Mahomes because he's a younger brother, a younger, less successful, internet famous brother. I mean, it's true, minus the off the field stuff.
Could it have been Lance?
Yeah.
Lance was working this week, right?
Yes, he was.
Everyone was on the schedule this week.
Yes.
Good to know.
By the way, Dell and Paul both off next week, so next week is going to be challenging.
We might have an advantage next
week. You have a very big advantage next week.
I mean, I think it's – I mean, I have no idea. You heard it.
I thought I did. Yeah, I thought I did. I might be completely – the more he read it, the more I'm thinking – because I catch the end of the transition to the first of Dell and Sean sometimes, but – you're right. It could be Lance. I could hear it being Joe, but if I was to say between the two, I would say it's prop.
I don't think Joe's taking a shot at Ben Verlander, though. I think he likes Ben Verlander.
Well, I was trying to see. You might have hit something there because I was trying to remember if Joe had made reference to the fact that he's had him on before and trying to defend him a little bit.
Oh, so you think it could be Paul?
Yeah,
if he's defending him, he wouldn't have said it.
Yeah, it could have been. So could it be Paul?
Definitely could be Paul. Paul's an equal opportunity hater.
So you going Paul or Lance?
I don't know, man. You heard it.
I know. I hate this. Because now I don't even want to put the guess on it because I didn't. Obviously, I wasn't listening that attentively.
Well, if you're the one that heard it, shouldn't you have
you
the guess?
Yeah, you gotta have to go with it here. You have a better chance to get it right than I do.
You got to put it on the line.
See,
I hate you, Brian. Shut up right now.
Can I put my own teammate on the clock?
Yeah, I know. I'm wasting time. I'm killing us.
You would have gotten auto drafted by now.
Yeah, that's right.
You want me to call it?
Yes, I do. You heard it.
I'll go. I hate this. I'll go, Paul.
He's just like Jackson Mahomes because he's a
attaboy. I would like to think I gave you an assist there.
You did assist.
You guys weren't there at all.
That's why we're a team, though. The fact that you, I caught that, then you backed it up, and boom, there we were.
I triggered something. I'm out here dropping dimes. Okay, you said it.
Yep.
All right, one for one.
One for one. Good job. All right, number two. But I know that if I leave a blackjack table or if I leave a slot machine, it doesn't matter. It's going to hit. So then you just like, I can't leave because it's going to hit. So then you stay and you just keep losing. And it makes it more likely that when you get up, it's going to pay off. It's just, that's why I call myself the C word.
The C word? Which one?
Yeah.
Well, the quote is C word. He doesn't say the C word.
But do you know which C word they were referring to?
I have a guess, but I don't know for sure.
Because that will eliminate half the people.
I don't know for
sure. Does gambling eliminate? It doesn't eliminate John and Lance. Does it eliminate Dell? I don't think Dell's a gambler.
Okay, that's fair. Paul probably isn't.
I wouldn't think Paul.
Joe is
on sports, but I don't think Paul's a casino gambler.
Yeah, I would say that those are our three options. John
now,
and Lance.
Joe has been making trips to Louisiana too.
Yeah, and it might and they're coming. They're doing it next week.
Yeah.
So like that might have been what triggered the conversation. I don't know if. I don't know if – like, slots also come into play here. Like,
Granato
doesn't strike
slots.
Me as a slot guy. He probably plays blackjack.
Agreed.
But this person, whoever said this, also plays slots. So I don't think
– Sounds Lancey.
I could see Lance playing slots. I could see Joe doing slots.
Maybe.
I think Joe's more likely to play blackjack and, like, craps, though. It's probably Lance or Joe.
Yeah, I'm feeling Lance.
All right, let's listen to it one more time.
But I know that if I leave a blackjack table or if I leave a slot machine, it doesn't matter. It's going to hit. So then you just like, I can't leave because it's going to hit. So then you stay and you just keep losing and it makes it more likely that when you get up, it's going to pay off. It's just, that's why I called myself the C word.
That's pretty long-winded for me, Joe.
Yeah.
But he did use the word like.
The only thing that throws me off is would Lance use the C word at all, let alone for himself?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
All right, so what do you think?
I think it's Lance.
I'm going to go with it, too.
All right, let's go. Lance, Sirline, B-Rod.
But I know that if I if I leave a blackjack table or if I leave a slot machine, it doesn't matter. It's going to hit.
What C word do you think he was using?
Well, I can't say the word.
You give us the no.
Yeah, it ends with normal thinking, I think.
What does the last letter end with?
I would say you could rhyme it with the suicide bunt.
Okay.
We're all on the same page. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's another one, but okay.
I'm guessing. I don't know for sure because on the show he just says C-word, but obviously. Otherwise, Dale would have had to dump him.
It's pretty offensive.
It is. It is fairly offensive, but apparently that's how mad Lance was at himself. All right, number three. LeBron's the one guy who he pays deference to. For whatever reason, of all people, he's like, I love me some King James. In fact, he calls him King, which is a little nuts. It's a little nuts that Draymond will refer to a grown man as King who's not actually a king. Hey, down with the monarchy here, Draymond. It's not what we're about. It's America. We don't believe in that stuff.
What was the second you said? Deference?
Deference.
That's Dell, right?
It's either Dell or Paul.
It's a good call. It could be either one.
It's either Dell or Paul.
But who's more likely to bring up a non-rockety subject matter about the NBA? I think it would be Dell and Sean.
Yeah, but he's talking about the monarchy. Like, that's Super Paul. Super Paul.
Yeah, I can see that. Initially, when I heard him read it, I heard Dell.
Yeah. All right, one more time, Brian. Sorry.
LeBron's the one guy he pays deference to, for whatever reason. Of all the people, he's like, I love me some King James. In fact, he calls him King, which is a little nuts. It's a little nuts that Draymond will refer to a grown man as King who's not actually a king. Hey, down with the monarchy here, Draymond. It's not what we're about. It's America. We don't believe in that stuff.
Man, see, the way that Brian's reading it, like, totally messes with me. Because Brian's reading it more like Paul, but I could see Dell saying it in his more, like, laid-back way. So that's kind of, it's messing
with me. I think
it's
between those two.
I do, too. I think it's definitely one of those two. I don't think anybody in the world would use deference. I don't think anybody knows
that's
what
my
it
big
means
thing was
besides
which,
them two.
Yeah, I mean, that makes it very easy to say those are the two guys that use deference.
But then Paul, I can see Paul being energetic, like, down with the monarchy.
You're
we're
right
the
about
USA.
The history.
But I could also see Dell being like, you know, down with the monarchy. Like, we're the USA. So that's what's messing with me. Like, I can see both of them saying it, but just not in the way that Brian read it. This one's tough.
It is. And we've got it. I think we've got it narrowed down to the right two people.
Yeah.
Is it? It's deference versus you're right about the fact when you start bringing into other governments and all the different structuring, that's Paul.
Do you think Paul would say deference?
I don't know. I felt like deference was a Dell word.
Let's go with Dell then. Because I could see Dell saying this just in a different tone. Dell, like,
LeBron's the one guy he pays
that
deference
boy.
To Man. For whatever reason. Of all the people. He's like,
there's a win. Got
he
one does. On.
Hey, we're on the board for
one,
the weekend.
One for the summer.
Oh, shut your mouth.
All right, good.
Hey, there's still history on the table here. You guys have history.
We should go undefeated.
We've never thrown a perfect
never
game.
Never gone 5-0. Right. All right, quote number four. Look, we know it's for safety reasons, but I don't want my starting quarterback wearing a guardian cap. You want to wear a special helmet? Cool. Don't put that guardian cap on. I'm trying to figure out the – think of the Jetsons character who had – it was like a green Jetsons. Martian who sat on their shoulder and said, hello, dum-dum, to everybody. I forgot what that guy's name is, but that's what it looks like. Don't do it.
Jetsons.
Well, there's only one show that's referencing the Jetsons.
I know the Jetsons, though. It came on after the Flintstones. I would watch that. I could see it being – I think it's either Paul or the bench. But who cares about, like, what dudes look like?
Who was he talking? Was it the Great Gazoo that had the little man with the big helmet?
No, I think it's the guy that flies around with the white helmet on the Jetsons.
Isn't that the Great Gazoo? Was
I don't know his name either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Neither did this ESPN 97.5 personality.
George Jetson. I used to watch that as a kid. That was like one of the few cartoons I'd watch. I watched that in the Flintstones, and that might be it. Looney Tunes.
You're right. It was right around the time of Gee, Dad, I'd like to play with Astro. Oh, George. Astro the dog and Little Elroy.
That's funny. Trying to see what that character was. Can't find
it. Did you put Great Gazoo in?
The Great Gazoo?
Or Great Kazoo might have been the Flintstones. Might, there it is.
Oh, I think that was right. Yeah, I think you're. Oh, it was the Flintstones. Oh. Great Kazoo was the Flintstones. I think it's Paul. I think Paul's the only one that cares about like what football players look like.
I honestly, I heard Lance.
Really?
Lance or John, yeah.
You say it again. Sorry, Brian. We'll hurry.
Sure. Look, we know it's for safety reasons, but I don't want my starting quarterback wearing a Guardian cap. You want to wear a special helmet? Cool. Don't put that Guardian cap on. I'm trying to figure out the think of the Jetsons character you had. It was like a green Martian who sat on their shoulder
oh,
and said, hello, dum-dum, to everybody. I forgot what that guy's name is, but that's what it looks like. Don't do it.
Who uses cool like that?
Huh?
Who goes, who you cool?
Are you Lance?
Is it Lance or Paul? That would go, oh, you like that? Cool.
Could be Joe. Joe does that, but
he, he does.
But do you think Joe knows Flintstones or Jetsons? I think it's Joe.
That the cool caught me.
Yeah. And he also got it wrong.
Yeah, and that's
the,
yeah,
he
it is the
Great
Kazoo.
And it was the wrong
cartoon.
Cartoon. I think it might be Joe.
This makes number five matter or not. We could run the table or we don't give a rat's ass after on number five. So
you call it. You've been hot.
The cool. Is it Joe or is it Lance?
I think it's Joe.
You want to go with it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Joe
George.
Look, we know it's for safety reasons,
but
I don't want my starting quarterback wearing a Guardian cap.
We wouldn't have got that.
You want to wear a special helmet? Cool.
Yeah, we were way off.
Put that Guardian cap
on.
I'm trying to figure
that out. All right, we'll go five real quick and guess real quick.
All right, number five. I do want everyone to know I appreciate my job, and I appreciate my career. Preseason football is just an absolute waste of everybody's time. In the grand scheme of things, because it's just a tease to get you an expensive tease, like going to the strip club. Where you're not actually getting anything out of it.
Paul or John, you call it.
Paul or John? You don't think Joe would say that?
Nah.
Who? Well, John doesn't value his job, right?
What?
We all have to bow down to John, so I don't know that he values his job.
Maybe not, yeah.
I could say about Paul, but I mean, for the most part.
You call it.
It doesn't matter. Paul.
I do want everyone to know I appreciate my job and I appreciate my career. Preseason football is just an absolute waste.
So
4 out of 5.
Very good week. Very good week.
We dominated. And we weren't in this ballpark for question four, so I'm not even that mad. All right, how many coaches in the NFL would you rather have than D'Amico Ryans? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company.
Killer Bees broadcasting live from Carbach. Rock the Mic champion will be crowned tonight. They'll be on the air until 7 o'clock. We'll get the show started at 5:30, so it's coming up. It's coming up in a hurry. Get on out here. Watch the show. Have a pop at Carbach. It will be fantastic. How many coaches in the NFL would you rather have than D'Amico Ryans? I was, D'Amico was coaching yesterday in these joint practices. You had Sean McVay, two of my favorite coaches in the entire NFL. I'm like, I wonder how many people would pick Sean McVay as their top coach in the NFL. I wonder how many people would pick D'Amico Ryans as their top coach in the NFL. I will say outside of Houston, I don't think D'Amico would get very many votes. I think outside of Houston, you would have Andy Reid. I think you would have Sean McVay. I think you would have Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. If I was picking a coach for 1 year, I'd probably go Andy Reid. I would go Andy Reid. I think he's the greatest offensive mind the NFL has ever seen. But if I'm looking at this from like a 10, 15, like 10 years, let's go 10 years. 15 years is a long time for a coach. 10 years, there's no one I'd rather have than D'Amico Ryans. I would have D'Amico Ryans at the top of my list. If I'm looking at this from a 10-year window, sorry, Nick Caserio, I know you don't know what a window is. Give me D'Amico Ryans. There is no other coach in the NFL I would pick over D'Amico Ryans for a 10-year window.
He'd be in consideration, but I don't know how that you go away from Kyle Shanahan and his ingenious offensive mind over a long period of time. He's still young enough where you could ride that train for a long time with a guy like Kyle Shanahan. McVay's already talked about getting out of the business, but if he's in,
I think he got a second wind.
He's one of my favorite coaches as well. I
do like McVay.
I love how innovative he is. I love how sometimes he can just throw caution to the wind, like their draft room on the beach in L.A. and they do things their own way. I love that. There's not many more. Look, I think you could like McDaniel and say McDaniel's the kind of guy, but he doesn't have any skins on the wall to say he's there yet to that total level.
Shanahan doesn't have the Super Bowl. Shanahan's actually choked.
He's gotten to one, but he did. Right. No, I get that. But I just think when we talk about innovative offensive minds, I think the names that come up are the three that you mentioned. It's McVay, it's Andy Reid, and it's Shanahan.
But doesn't DeMeco have an innovative defensive mind?
I think so. I think so. Yeah, I think that he. I mean, look, he was loaded in San Francisco. I think we're going to see a lot more this year because he's got so much talent to work with too. So he can be more creative than he was able to be a year ago. But I think so, yeah.
I think where DeMeco has the edge over a Shanahan, especially Shanahan, I don't know if I could say the same thing for McVay or the same thing for Reid. But, again, I'm looking at this from a 10-year window. So that's what eliminates Reid for me, because I don't think Reid's doing this for 10 more years, that DeMeco, and I think that this is an attribute that we dismiss whenever we're evaluating head coaches in the NFL. We look at offensive genius. We look at defensive scheme. We're like, this is what makes a head coach so great. I think the one thing that we devalue, and we're incredibly flawed by devaluing it, is leadership. And leadership's so critical for any organization. It's critical for any business. But you have 53 players on your roster. You have practice squad guys. You have a coaching staff of 15. Leadership is so critical for the position. Yet whenever we're talking about, you know, who should be the head coach for this opening, who should be the head coach for that opening, it's always like, well, this guy was third in the league in offense last year, or this guy's really good at drawing up a play. Why do we devalue leadership? And I think that's DeMeco Ryan's best attribute. I think DeMeco Ryan's great at drawing up a defensive play. I think he's on the defensive side, what McVay, what Shanahan are on the offensive side. I do think offense is a little bit more important than defense, so that's like a point to your side. But the thing that we devalue, that DeMeco has, and I don't think we should devalue it, is the leadership quality.
No, there's something to that, because I was going to say, if you want to have credence to your argument, Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin was a, you know, his biggest attribute, I think, is his leadership. Yes, yeah. He was a defensive-minded defensive backs coach, but the fact that he's been able to do and have the longevity doing what he's done with the track record that he has is a testament to his leadership first and foremost. I think that that's a huge attribute. So I think that that's something that DeMeco should get more credit for, especially when we start hearing the stories and what he's had to deal with and how he's handled situations and now getting him this quickly to this point. My question then on the flip side, though, with DeMeco is, Bobby Slowick, such a big key as the offensive coordinator, are you relying more on that, look, Johnson's a guy that can fill in, and when CJ gets more comfortable, he becomes more of a Rodgers Manning type guy where he can run the offense on his own?
Yeah, but you can say that about the other coaches on the other side of the ball. Like, it's the same. Like, Shanahan has to do that every year with a defensive guy. He's had Saleh. He's had DeMeco. I forget who they had last year who they got rid of in a year. They promoted from within. Same thing with Kansas City. Like, he has Spagnuolo now, which is great because he had the second-best defense in the NFL last year. Mm-hmm. McVay has to bring in defensive coordinators. Started with Son of Bum and now has kind of progressed into hiring more defensive coordinators. So just because D'Amico's a defensive guy and has to find an offensive guy, the other guys have to do that for the other side of the ball.
No, that's true. That's true. I think that the other thing is, because we all know with all the changes in the way that the offense has been kind of put on a pedestal as how important it is in the NFL, that the offensive-minded head coaches, fair or foul, the offensive-minded head coaches, when they have success, get probably more credit.
Yeah, if I was starting a team from scratch and I was looking at a 10-year window, Shanahan, McVay, DeMeco are in that conversation for me. I think what pushes DeMeco over the edge in Houston is because of his ties with Houston.
Maybe.
That's why I wouldn't trade DeMeco for any coach in the NFL, because he's the former captain, because he's so ingrained in the city of Houston. I think he's loyal, so I think he's going to stay here for as long as he wants to be a head coach. So that, especially because we're in Houston, I wouldn't trade DeMeco for anybody. If I was starting at a franchise from scratch in the middle of nowhere, I hear you on McVay. I'd probably go McVay over Shanahan. I hear you on Reid, if you think Reed's going to do it for a while. But because it's the Texans, and it's where he was and he's been, and he also brings so much of the former players back and, like, makes it whole again, I wouldn't trade DeMeco for any coach.
See, that's the prerequisite. If the question is set up that you're starting this team up in Houston, Texas, then DeMeco gets so much more cred in terms of not only because of what he does as a head coach, no matter where he is, but because of the legacy he's already kind of established here in Houston and what that means to kind of galvanize the entire city, the franchise, and believe in him from the jump. And that's going to mean something when he's obviously starting up his team and dealing with a young team full of a new locker room.
B. Hannon says John Harbaugh, and then he said Jim Harbaugh. So I don't know which Harbaugh he's rooting for. Probably the Charger Harbaugh because he's a Charger fan.
Yeah.
He does win everywhere he goes, and sometimes he gets, you know, he's cheating a little bit with where he goes. I want D'Amico over all other coaches, says 5044. I asked it on Twitter, too. Tomlin came up quite a bit. Tomlin would be more of the leadership quality because I don't think that he's this offensive, defensive, like, genius. 5798, there might be a few coaches who are better, Shanahan, Harbaugh, McVay, Tomlin, but I wouldn't trade D'Amico Ryans for any of them. 8736, leadership, so Carlos Correa, good point. There's no mounds in football, though, so that's going to make it a little bit tricky. And then Corey says everybody knows Blank has McCarthy at the top of his list.
No, I don't. I would put LaFleur.
He was kidding.
I know, but I'm saying of the Packers coaches that are still coaching, I think LaFleur doesn't get enough credit because now that Rodgers has been gone, what he's been able to do with that offense, with those receivers and Love and the guys that he had last year, I think LaFleur should get more credit.
It's what are you laughing at, Brian?
Because in the answer, there was still a way to take credit away from Jordan Love. It was what Matt LaFleur is doing with Jordan Love.
Yeah. I do like McFleur, though. I think he's
there's always a way to take credit away from Jordan Love.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. DJ Bieniemy covers the Houston Texans for ESPN and ESPN.com. He'll join us next to talk all about this Houston Texans team that has to trim their roster down to 53 by Tuesday at 3. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from my good friends at Allstate Siding and Windows. Look, I had my windows replaced at my house from the good people at Allstate Siding and Windows. I would recommend them to anyone because they are the best in the business. They've been in the Houston area for almost 50 years, and they're going to take care of you every single step of the way. Right now, they got a deal 30% off on all windows. That's phenomenal. But you know what's better? They're experts. They're going to come to your house with a free, no-obligation estimate. They're going to tell you exactly the products they offer, the right products for your specific situation, and then making sure that you are aware of the fact that the way they are going to install them and everything that they're going to do, you are making an unbelievable decision for you and your family. If you're protecting your house, these windows are going to be unbelievable with all the hurricane season elements that we're dealing with, not to mention the fact that they are going to keep the cool air in the summer and they keep the warm air in the winter. They are going to drop your energy bills by 30 to 40%. It's absolutely phenomenal, and they're the only place that I would recommend. Call them today to get that free estimate. All you got to do is call 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. They will come to you, tell you what they can do, and that they can do it better than anybody else. I went with them. You should, too. Check out the website, AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito.
Buddy it up with a honey buddy.
Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.